Welcome. I would like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a wonderful day. It's gloomy outside, but like Nanette said, the sun's shining in here big time. And I feel full already. So, I don't have the little piece of paper, so if somebody's filling them out, my sermon is baptism and it's Jesus the only way. You know, it's a testimony of this sermon that hopefully I can do it justice and do what the Lord wants me to do. I was watching Randy on the live stream last week, and as he's going through his sermon and stuff, I'm jotting down some notes. Really wasn't paying any attention much to what I was writing and everything, and then a little bit later on, I looked down and it was all about most of it was about baptism. And then when they gave the announcements that we were having a baptism, I thought, "Well, cool, that'll work out great." And then we have another one, so I get to be sandwiched in between two baptisms. What can be better than that? And a sacrament service, no less, to where we can remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure you can. There's better speakers than I am, but I'm the chosen one today. Let's open in the Book of Mormon, page 423. It'll be the 16th chapter of Alma. I'm going to start at verse 149. I'm going to read about an experiment. I'm talking about baptisms and stuff. Well, what gets you there? Well, this experiment, I'd have to figure up on my fingers and toes how many years ago it was, but I can remember reading this before I was baptized, and it's like, that's what's happening. I didn't realize it, but when I read through this experiment where it talks about the swelling of your soul and all that, it's like, that's what's going on inside of me. Jesus Christ is working a miracle in me. Because I was 30-some years old when I got baptized. And I'm stubborn. And it was difficult for me to take that step. I just want to tell you, it was difficult. So I did a lot of praying about it. I'll just throw out a little testimony since I'm up here talking about it already. I'm so stubborn that I prayed for several months that the Lord would show me the way. Even though I'm studying with Glenn and Alvin in their house on Friday nights, studying about baptism, going through the Word, they're teaching me how to study and all that, but it's still like, I know what it says, I know what it's teaching me, but I gotta know. I gotta know. So I'd pray this prayer several times a day. I just asked the Lord to show me the way. I mean, that's the words I was using. Show me the way. So one Friday night, I was on my way home, and he did. I'm driving down Broadway, which is the main north and south thoroughfare in Oak Grove where I live. And I'm praying this prayer. And all of a sudden, now I know what it was. I hadn't received the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit touched me in a way that I just started bawling like a baby. And I'm asking, oh, show me the way. And I saw doors in the sky. I literally saw doors in the sky. And I get to that later. Alma 16, verse 149. This is Alma, and he says, "Now I said concerning faith that it is not a perfect knowledge. Even so it is with my words. You cannot know of their surety at first unto perfection any more than faith is a perfect knowledge. But behold, if you will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith," a particle, a little bitty mustard seed of faith. And a mustard seed is itty bitty little seed, if you've never seen one. I mean, it may be the size of a seed tick. They're not very big. But if you'd exercise a particle of faith, yea, even you can no more desire than to believe. If you have no more than a desire to say, "Lord, I want to know about you." You know, you don't even have to, at this point, it's not even taking that step for baptism. It's just like, I want to know about you. I want to believe. I've got a desire to believe. So even if you can know more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until you believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words, the words that are written down here. Now we'll compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, you'll begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me. I can remember when I started to understand the stuff that I was reading. Not just reading the words and knowing what they said, but actually understanding and feeling it. Feeling the emotion that goes along with it. You know, that I don't know why else to say it, but it was good. It was just great. I mean, that feeling I had inside, the Lord was working with me. I was beginning to understand things. And I don't know what other words to use other than I was filled with joy. And where am I? 154. That's okay. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. It beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me. And you are right. 155. Now begin. Would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea, nevertheless, it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, and then ye must needs say that the seed is good. For behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. Like if you plant a seed in the dirt, all of a sudden it breaks through that dirt and it sprouted out and it starts to grow because you nourish it. Same way with this word, with the seed that's planted in your heart. It's nourished by the word of God. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? I mean, if you didn't have it before and you're thinking about it, and it's like, I know this is happening, so it must be strengthening my faith because I feel different. Yes, it will strengthen your faith. For you will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, are you sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea. For every seed that bringeth forth into its own likeness, therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good. But if it groweth not, behold, it is not good. Therefore, it must be cast away. And now, behold, because ye have tried the experiment and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, ye must needs know that the seed is good. And now, behold, is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing, and your faith is dormant. And this because you know, for you know that the word hath swelled your souls, and you also know that it hath sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to enlighten, to be enlightened, and your mind doth begin to expand. Oh, then, is this not real? It is real. And if you'll take the time to do that experiment, read the word. If you need somebody to find to study with, find somebody to study with. But it will begin to grow within your soul if you don't cast it out. I guarantee it. And I don't guarantee much. And this because you know. For you know that the word hath swelled your souls, and you also know that it hath sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to be enlightened, and that your mind doth begin to expand. Oh, then, is not this real? I say unto you, yea, because it is light, and whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible. Therefore ye must know that it is good. And now behold, after ye have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have also exercised your faith to plant the seed, that ye might try the experiment to know if the seed is good. And behold, as a tree beginneth to grow, you'll say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. And now behold, if you nourish it with much care, it'll get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if you neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, if you don't study the word, if you don't read the word, if you don't nourish that seed of faith that you planted within your heart, it's going to die. You're not going to be fertile ground. You're not going to be the ground that the seed can sprout up and grow and take root. So you have to study the word. You need to study the word. You need to know what the word says, because it's life. And now behold, verse 165. And now behold, if you nourish it with much care, it'll get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if you neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withereth away, and you pluck it up and cast it out. Now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof was not desirable, but it is because your ground is barren, and you will not nourish the tree, therefore you cannot have the fruit thereof. And thus it is, if you will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, you can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. But if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, because by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, pure above all that is pure. And shall feast upon the fruit even until you are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and longsuffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. Even if you have been baptized, if you haven't tried to experiment, give it a shot. I mean, what have you got to lose? All I know is I was fortunate to have people that took me under their wing. That's the only thing I can think of. But they took the time to study with me and to guide and direct me, to answer my questions, and to help that seed grow within me. I started coming to church. I started learning more. You all accepted me in as part of your family, which was great. The best day of my life was when I was baptized. I guarantee I can put my finger on that day and say, that's the best day of my life. I remember... it's all running through my mind like a freight train, but I remember that like it was yesterday. All the emotions I had, all the feelings I had, all the love that I felt from y'all. We were in the basement of the East Local. It was during conference, and our conference was at the Salvation Army camp on 40 Highway at the time. And I couldn't believe how full that basement was just to see Mark Hill get baptized. It was packed. And I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by the love that y'all showed for me at that time. I was overwhelmed because I was doing that which the experiment brought me to. It was the most wonderful time of my life. And I guarantee if you go into it with no hypocrisy, with your heart right, the promise is there that you will receive the Holy Ghost. That's another guarantee. I remember feeling the warmth. And I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. But I hope she felt the whole, I hope she felt when she was cleansed with fire and received the Holy Ghost. I wish everybody could feel it. But the Lord works with everybody in their own individual ways. And I have to be honest, sometimes I'm hesitant, there we go, to give that testimony because not everybody had that experience. And I don't want them to feel like that anything got left out. That's just how God worked with me. I'd been praying that I would know I received the Holy Ghost for months also. Because as we were studying once, I had this fear. I said, I want to know if I received the Holy Ghost. Well, this lady that was in there, she looked real calmly at me and said, well, pray about it. You know, and it's like, I hadn't thought about praying about it. I wasn't raised in the church. You know, I have a Baptist background, but we stopped going to that when I was in the fourth grade. Best day of my life. All right, let's get going. Numbers. 21st chapter of Numbers. I'm going to build up to something here is what I'm doing. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 through 9. Okay, Moses has the people and they've left Egypt and they're out wandering. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were tired, you know. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Come on, man. Did you bring us out from where we were in captivity so we would die? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. It talked about it in a sermon here a while back. They had manna every day. Every day. Do you want the same thing every day? Well, they didn't either. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, verse 6, thank you. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. When they were bitten by these serpents, all they had to do was look at this serpent up on this pole and live. That's all they had to do. They knew they were bit. They knew they were going to die. All they had to do was look. And some of them didn't. Book of Mormon, page 427, 16th chapter of Alma. Alma 16, verse 190. But behold, this is not all. These are not the only ones which have spoken concerning the Son of God. Behold, he was spoken of by Moses. Yea, behold, a type was raised up in the wilderness that whoever should look upon it might live. And many did look and live. But few understood the meaning of these things, and this because of the hardness of their hearts. But there were many which were so hardened that they would not look. Therefore, they perished. Like I said, all they had to do was look. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved. Now, the reason that they would not look is because they did not believe that it would heal them. Oh, my brethren, if you could be healed by merely casting by merely casting about your eyes that you might be healed, would you not behold quickly? Or would you rather harden your hearts in unbelief and be slothful that you would not cast about your eyes that you might not perish? And it seems easy enough, but yet, you know, there were still people that had that hardness of their heart that it's like, I'm not looking. It ain't going to work. You're going to die anyway. What? Why not? All they had to do was look. What verse was I on? And if so, woe shall come upon you. But if not so, then cast your eyes about and begin to believe on the Son of God, that he will come to redeem his people, and he will suffer and die to atone for their sins. And that he shall rise again from the dead, which shall bring to pass the resurrection, that all men shall stand before him to be judged at the last and judgment day, according to their works. And now, my brethren, I desire that you would plant this word in your hearts. As it beginneth to swell, even so nourish it by your faith. And behold, it will become a tree, springing up unto you into everlasting life. And then may God grant unto you that your burdens may be light through the joys of his Son. And even all this can ye do if you will. Amen. All they had to do was look. John 3. Third chapter of John, verse 14. We sang about Nicodemus this morning. And he came to Jesus by night and asked him what he needed to do. He said he needed to be born again. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, it's the same thing. Jesus is going to be held up on the cross. All you got to do is look at him. You have to believe. And what is believing? That's doing the things that he's been at, that he asked us to do. It's just not saying, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, how much do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in him enough to go down into the waters of baptism? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 16, 3:16 gets read a lot. And I always like, there's action words in here. For God so loved. He loved us. He loved us enough that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to, he said, here you go. It's a present. I give it. I give him to you. Are you going to neglect that present? Are you going to accept it? Are you going to look upon the serpent and live? Are you going to look on Jesus Christ and live? Questions that you have to answer in your own mind. But he gave his Son. And if you believe in Jesus Christ enough, you're going to do what he says. And he says to go down into the waters of baptism, to be buried with him in baptism, be buried with Christ in the water, and to come back up out of the water. Page 633. 3 Nephi, chapter 5. Third Nephi 5:18. And it came to pass that he spake unto Nephi, for Nephi was among the multitude, and he commanded him that he should come forth. This is Jesus, and he's asking Nephi to come forth. And the Lord commanded that he should arise, and he arose and stood before him. And the Lord said unto him, I give unto you power, that ye shall baptize this people when I am again ascended unto heaven. And again the Lord called others and said unto them likewise, and he gave unto them power to baptize. And he saith unto them, on this wise shall ye baptize, and there shall be no disputations among you. This is the way I want it done, and this is the way you're going to do it, and I don't want you to do it any other way. Verily I say unto you, that whoso repenteth of his sins through your words and desireth to be baptized in my name, on this wise shall ye baptize him. Behold, ye shall go down and stand in the water, and in my name shall ye baptize them. And now behold, these are the words which ye shall say. And those are the words that were said today. These are the words that will be said again here in just a little bit. Calling them by name, saying, having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then shall ye immerse them in water and come forth again out of the water. And after this manner shall ye baptize in my name. For behold, verily I say unto you, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are one, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the Father and I are one. And according as I have commanded you, thus shall ye baptize. Go back up to verse 25, and it says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. But first he says, having authority given me of Jesus Christ. That tells me that you just can't pick somebody and say, I want you to baptize me. It needs to be somebody that has been given authority of Jesus Christ. In this church, we're called of Jesus Christ into his ministry. So we should know of a surety that as ministers, we've been given that authority to do that. We've been given permission to baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the way he wants it done. Okay, we're going to skip that. 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, it's all about baptism. If you have a few minutes, read it. I was going to, but I'm not. But it's all about baptism. The whole chapter explains why baptism, what's going to happen, the receiving of the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful thing. I'm going to ask a question. Is there anybody out there that doesn't remember their baptism? Hopefully it was impressed upon you enough that you remember that moment forever. That's why it's called the Kodak moment. Snap. That snapshot of time is in your memory. And I'm hoping that it stays there and you can recall it. You know, there are times when I'm by myself, wherever I'm at, if it's in the garage, because I have a t-shirt that says I'll be in the garage, and that's where I hang out, that I start thinking about those things that happened at my baptism, the testimonies I have ahead of it, and the testimonies I had afterwards, and it's like, I'm just so filled with joy, I just start crying. And I love it. And then I got to go back to doing whatever I was doing. But if it's not the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you, I guess my question would be, did you go down into the waters in the right way? With no hypocrisy. My tongue's not wanting to work. With no hypocrisy. That means you're not trying to fake anybody out. The Lord knows it. And you don't do it for your parents. You don't do it for your aunts and uncles. You don't do it for your grandparents. You do it for yourself. If you're doing it because your dad wants you to, don't do it. Because you need to go down into the waters on your own and be baptized with somebody that Jesus Christ has given authority to. And I've got two verses that I'm going to close with. John 10. This one's my favorite, probably my favorite verse. Tenth chapter of John, verse 7. There it is. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 9, Jesus Christ just flat out says, and I gave the testimony earlier, and that's why I love this verse, because he says, when I finally started doing a word search on doors, because I didn't understand what he was telling me. I really didn't. When I saw the doors in the sky, there was a peace that goes beyond comprehension with me. I mean, I was just, besides crying so hard I couldn't hardly drive, but there was just a peace there. I'm sorry, I've lost my place. If you try to do it any other way, you're trying to be a thief and a robber. You've got to go down into the waters and be baptized in the way that Jesus set forth for us to do it. John 10, oh, I already read that. Never mind. But he says, I am the door, I am the way. You have to go through me to get to heaven, to get to God. I'm going to close with John 14:6, where Jesus saying to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get there any other way. That's the way it is. I hope I've done this justice, because in my heart, it's the backbone of your Christianity, is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and being obedient and going down into the water, as he says. And with that, Jesus says, No man cometh to the Father but by me.